We continue our study in 2 Samuel 19, verses 16 through 20. The rebellion of Absalom has been squashed. David is now returning home. As he and his men cross the Jordan, several people are gathering to meet the returning king. Among them, we find old Shimei and 1,000 of his men. If you remember, Shimei had cursed David earlier, hurled abuses at him, called him a bloodthirsty man, and on and on and on. Totally disrespected the king. So now we see in verse 18 of 2 Samuel 19, 2 Samuel 19, verse 18, it says this. Then a ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Now Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. A big difference than the way he had approached David earlier, hurling attacks, calling him a son of Belial, a vain, worthless man, a bloody man. Now he has changed his tune from calling David worthless and vile, disgraced, brought low. Now he falls before David. Shimei comes before David and he falls at his feet in humility. This is a far different attitude than he displayed the last time his path had crossed with David. Perhaps Shimei had time to contemplate his sin. So we have before us a humble confession. We see a man that was prideful and puffed up that attacked King David with his mouth. And now he coming before David in humble confession. Now look at verses 19 and 20 in that same 2 Samuel 19 and 20. Then he said to the king, "Do not let my lord impute iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Israel, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet my lord, the king." So, you have a humble confession. Now you have an honest confession. Shimei says the three hardest words that most of us know. I have sinned. I have sinned. He makes a full and complete confession of the wrong that he has done to David. He has made a complete confession of the wrong in his attack on David. So first we see a humble confession. Now we see an honest confession. Now you see, brothers and sisters, where this is all going, right? First a humble confession of our sin. Then an honest confession of our sin. And not only humble and an honest confession, but a hopeful confession. Shimei hopes that David won't hold the past against him. He seems genuinely sorry for what he's done. And he's hopeful that David will offer him forgiveness. Now, before we look at David's response to Shimei, I think we should take a moment to find something that speaks to our own hearts. The truth is, we have all been hurt. But the sadder truth is that we have all been on the other side too. We are all guilty of saying things out of turn, talking about someone else, doing hurtful things, and even of telling lies of another person. When life finds us in this position, what are we supposed to do? We'll do exactly what Shimei did. We're to go to the person that we have offended and we're to confess to them what we have done and we are to seek their forgiveness. That's the clear teaching of the scripture. What does Matthew 5:23-24 tell us? Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Let us look at James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess your trespasses to one another. When David hears this plea from Shimei, he responds to Shimei in grace and not in retaliation. That is to be our response, brothers and sisters. Grace, not retaliation. Notice what David did at this moment in time. What he did is a lesson for those of us who get hurt from time to time. Go back to 2 Samuel 19:21-23. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he's cursed the Lord's anointed?" And David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel?" Therefore the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king swore to him. Grace, not retaliation. Abishai, he wants to kill Shimei, but David prevents his violent nephew from killing the humbled man. In other words, David stood as a protector of the very person who had wronged him. Now that's grace. Does that not sound familiar of our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters? We've wronged Christ, but yet he stands as our protector against Satan, death, and hell in the grave. David stands as a protector. He's been wronged, but now he's protecting Shimei. That's grace. David knew that this was a day of rejoicing and a day of forgiveness for him. You get the point, brothers and sisters? He also perceived that it was a day of grace in his own life. He was returning to glory to reclaim his throne. And it was only so because God had forgiven him and had given him grace and not what he deserved. So we must behave the same way, brothers, sisters. David promised forgiveness and amnesty to Shimei. Why? It had not been many days since David himself had sinned against Uriah, Bathsheba, the nation of Israel, and the God of heaven. When David had bowed before the Lord and confessed his sins, God had freely forgiven him. Now David extends that same grace to the one who had wronged him greatly. David's response to Shimei demonstrates what our own response should be when we're faced with an opportunity to forgive. First of all, we need to remember that even at our very best, none of us are perfect. Never forget the principle. Man is just a man at best. We have all sinned against God, and we have all sinned against others. Still, we have been forgiven many times over. We have a responsibility to forgive others when they sin against us. Turn to Luke 17:1-5. What does it tell us there? Then he said to the disciples, It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him to whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. I think we all need to say that prayer. Lord, increase our faith. Just as we should be quick to forgive, we should also learn to express that forgiveness. In other words, don't just think it, say it. When something happens, we may pray about the matter and leave it with the Lord, but the offending party needs to know that they've been forgiven. We need to reach out to those who have reached out to us and let them know, yes, I have forgiven you. Yes. What if somebody hurts us and they don't deal with it? Can we hold the grudge then? Is it all right to be angry with them until they come around begging our forgiveness? No. Regardless of what they do to us or say about us, we should have the same spirit Jesus displayed when he was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I heard a story about forgiveness. And then the person telling the story explains it this way. Some years ago, a well-dressed woman came to my study, very distressed. She had made a commitment to the Lord a few days earlier, but had asked to see me because something was troubling her. She poured out an unpleasant story concerning an affair she had been having with one of her husband's friends. Then she insisted that her husband should know, and that I should tell him. Well, that was a new experience for me, said the gentleman. After some discussion with the woman, I called the husband. When he arrived at my study, I told him what had happened. Turning to his tearful and fearful wife, the man said, I love you, I forgive you. Let's make a new start. Many things had to be straightened out. There had been consequences to that sin, and much hurt had to be healed. But his response, the offended husband's response of forgiveness, made it possible by his understanding of the forgiveness of God. He forgave as he had been forgiven. And brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to. You have been forgiven this great debt. You remember the parable of the unmerciful servant? He had been forgiven much by the king, freed from the debt he could never repay over lifetimes of work. He could have never repaid the king. And the king wiped out all of his debt, all of the charges against him. And then he left the king's presence and he met someone that owed him a little bit of money. And he treated him harshly, wanted him arrested and everything like that. He had forgot all about the mercy that he had just received. And really, brothers and sisters, that's what this text is all about. Forgiven. But yet, to show you why David needed forgiveness, let me end by this. David may have forgiven Shimei, but David never forgot what Shimei did. See, that's the difference between man and with God. God says that he will forgive us our sins, not only forgive us, but forget. Look at Jeremiah 31:34. No more shall every man teach his brother and every man his brother, No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. Notice, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. So with God, he forgives us our sin. And he says he remembers our sin no more. But David, as I mentioned earlier, he was just a man, and a man at best. Because look at David's last request before he dies. Go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 2, verses 8 and 9. So now here's David. He lives a full life. He's on his deathbed. 1 Kings 2, verses 8 and 9. And see, you have with you Shimei, the son of Gera, Benjamite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan. I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now therefore, do not hold them guiltless. Do not hold them guiltless, for you are a wise man and know what you ought to do to him. But bring his gray hair down to the grave with blood. What a difference. What a difference. Now that was someone that didn't forget the sin of Shimei. He forgave him, but he didn't forget. On his deathbed, David commands Solomon to be sure that Shimei pays for the evil that he had done. Solomon eventually carries out his command, and Shimei is executed. David's forgiveness was not perfect, was it? And far too often our forgiveness is not perfect. Some people forgive like the man in the story that I had just told. A man lay dying in the hospital bed, but as he lay there, he suddenly remembers an old enemy he once held a grudge against. He calls the nurse to his bedside. He whispers, "Nurse, please summon my old enemy." The enemy arrives and the man opens one eye and says to my enemy, "I have called you here today to say I'm sorry for all the wrong that I've done to you." Then he pauses for a minute and adds, "But mind you, if I even get better, if I ever get better, you be sure that that old grudge still holds good." See, that is the kind of forgiveness that David had. But aren't you glad that God does not forgive like man does? When God forgives, he also forgets, as I read to you in Jeremiah. Thank God that truth is still proclaimed today. Again and again in the scriptures, we find it over and over, that God not only forgives, that he forgets. It takes effort. It takes grace. And it may take everything that we have. But we should strive to give forgiveness to the same level that we have forgiven, that we have received forgiveness. No wonder the disciples asked the Lord to increase their faith. And I would ask the same today. And I would invite you to ask the Lord the same today, to increase your faith in order that you would be able to forgive. For I would question, how you doing in this area of forgiveness? Are you practicing the kind of forgiveness that pleases the Lord? Or maybe you're in the business of holding grudges, getting even. I'll show them. If there's a hurt that needs to be forgiven, this would be a good time to deal with it. You're hearing this message. As soon as you're done, repent of it. Repent of holding on. If you're the offending party, it's a good time to go to that other person and say, "I'm sorry, I've sinned against you." Humble yourself. That's one of the biggest problems in a marriage. Neither one can say, "I'm sorry. I was wrong. I was wrong. I am sorry." That's the biggest problem we have, admitting that we're wrong. We should seek to forgive others to the same level that we've been forgiven. God has wiped out your debt of all your sins. That's it. No one can sin against you too much. The most they can do is kill you like they did to Christ. And what Christ said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what to do." That's the example before us, brothers and sisters. We're to strive to keep short accounts, first with God and with our fellow man. When we are wronged, we need to admit it. When we've been wrong, we need to forget it. When we are wrong, we need to admit it. And when we have been sinned against, we need to forget it. We need to forgive that other person. It ain't if and then, and well, if they coulda, shoulda, I don't know, I wanna, I can't. We need to forget. Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. That's where we are, brothers and sisters. And my friend, if you're listening today and you have never come to Christ, if you've never come to Christ for salvation, today is the day to come. Now is the time. God was in the world reconciling. God was in the world reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness of sin in Christ. If you would come to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find forgiveness for your sins. But there is no forgiveness for your sins apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Atonement has to be made for the sin that has been committed. Jesus Christ is the atonement. His blood paid the price of sinful men and women. And if you will simply come today and repent, that's what repent is. I'm sorry, I have sinned against you, Lord. Forgive me. That's mercy. You need to cry out what that old sinner cried out years ago. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And the good news is, if you will cry out and mean it, not just play a game, I'm playing it, you know, I'm from the heart, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you. I've rebelled against you. I've fought against you. I've been your enemy, as the scripture says. Forgive me, I have sinned. Cry out like the man that died next to Christ on the last day of the life of Jesus Christ. The one thief kept cursing. The other thief cried out, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Christ told that one, today you'll be with me in paradise. Christ would say the same to you today, my friend. And child of God, forgive. No matter what that person has done, forgive and forget if possible. That's why we cry out, Father, increase our faith.